It started and if
you all awkward about it. No pressure.
You good? You get recorded every day.
And yeah, finally come freaking deal with the cops.
So anyway.
So yeah, on the Model 11, on the assignment, you wanted us to have it match, check to see if the name matches up with the number, or if the number matches up with the name. And if the number we put in doesn't match to a name, you want us to have it check to see if it is Model 11?
If it validates. So, wait a minute.
So, say if I put in a code that's a Model 11 for, you know, a person, it brings them up, but I put another number that's not Model 11, you want us to check to see if it's a Model 11 number? Does that make sense?
You're right.
No?
You're not coherent.
Yeah, I become all awkward now because I'm being recorded.
So, basically, what's going to happen is, you're going to put in a number. You have to make sure that there is a name to match that number.
Yeah, I got that.
You're going to have an array to do that. Then you're going to run another calculation to check that number for Mod 11.
Where is the Mod 11 handout? Does anybody know?
You're going to do that by checking the check digit, which would be the last digit
of that number. Should be on the main page.
However,
oh, that's right. I did put it on the main page, didn't I?
Scroll down.
If the number is not in the array, then it's invalid.
For the check,
oh, yeah. There's the Model 11 explanation. Okay, so basically, you come in with an ID that said 0365324. Okay, so that's the ID that came in. So you run through this calculation, and this calculation comes out with a 7. And so you compare the 7 to the 4. They don't match. So it's not a valid ID. Because it had the 4 at the end of it, and the calculation gave me a 7. And so that means that that is not a valid ID. If it comes in as 0365327, that is the same as my calculation. And so that is a valid ID. So basically, it's like a credit card. You pass in a credit card. They can run a calculation on the first 12 digits or however they do it. And if the calculation comes up with the last digit, then they say, okay, this is a valid ID. And if the calculation doesn't, then it's not.
And the IDs that we have set up in the array, those have
to be valid? A couple of them should be valid.
They don't all have to?
No, because you can throw a lot of stuff out. But a couple of them should be valid just to prove to me that you know what you're doing.
And you also put in, so if I put in a number that doesn't match a name, you want to check if the number that doesn't match a name is a valid number?
I think so. I don't remember
that's
that.
That's what I was confused about.
Okay.
So I understood that you wanted us to have check to see if it was Model 11, but it was a...
I got to go look at the assignment. I don't remember the answer to that. So where's the assignment?
Week 8? No.
Array assignment, yes. So the student will click a button to tell whether they're... Okay, wait a minute. Have a roster of students enrolled in my course. Name and ID. The name is in the format last, first, middle. I want to set up the student IDs and the student names in arrays or in an array or arrays such that I can validate the student is in my class by either ID or name. So the student will check a radio button to tell whether they're entering a name or an ID. I want to take that name or ID and check the array to validate that the person is my class and display something. And I want to return a message if they're not. Okay? But they not only, the ID, if they're doing it by ID, the ID not only has to be there, it has to be valid.
Okay.
But it looks to me like they are making the choice. So if the student gave me a name and said she is in my class, I will return the fact that she is a student. So they apparently are making a choice as to whether they want student to go in by name or ID.
Because I got the IDs from after the student name before we were just a model 11. I was kind of second guessing on. Okay. That clears
but, you know, if they say they're going to put in an ID and the ID isn't in my array, so I guess, yes, you're right. All the ones in the array have to be valid. The ones that the student entered doesn't have to be valid. But all the ones in the student array have to be valid. So you either have to write the code to come up with those, or you have to do it by hand. And I don't care. You can have four students in the class. That's fine. You don't have to have a gazillion students in the class. So you got to go through and do it for, you know, four of them or something like that.
You said the student ID are 5 digits? No, 6.
I think I did 5 here. I don't think I care.
Okay.
I mean, this formula will work on any number of digits. So it doesn't matter. You want to use a 6-digit, 7-digit, 8-digit, 9-digit, I don't care.
But no matter how long the ID is, the last number is the check digit.
Is the check digit, right.
Okay.
And the initial numbers are the numbers you use to run the formulas. Okay. Okay, we are going to move on. Come on, you can do it. Why did I click the first thing? Okay, so we're looking at right now examples. And we're looking at the ones under ADO. And we got through the first 4 last time. I'm going to go back over one of them because there's some people here that weren't here. So I'm going to go back over it. Just quickly. So I'm opening the first one, which is donor form. Wait a minute. I want to open it here. Donor form SQL 12.
That's under examples, right?
Yep.
Oh, there is donor form.
It's the very first one. I'm just going to quickly go over that, and then we'll move on to the ones I didn't go over. Okay, so what we're doing now is we're reading from an access database. And so if I go out and I bring up access... And what we're going to do next week is look at... either Web Matrix or MySQL. I actually haven't decided which to look at first. It kind of depends on what they've got here for SQL Server. Come on, you can do it. Okay, so to find the database, it's on my F drive, so I'm going to the F drive. I'm going into my directory, which is VBADO access. I'm going into the program, which is donor form SQL 12. And I am clicking on bin and debug. Okay, and there is the database. So I have stored it with my program. Okay. I was taking a picture. Oh, good. What did I do? clever. Okay. F drive, ADO access, DomoSQL. So there it is, as I said, and I can click on this and open it. Okay? And there's my database. Okay, so there's my database. And there are all the tables, and there are all some queries that I did with them and all that good stuff. Now, the table that I'm using in this particular program is the Donor 2000 table. So if I look at the design view of that, those are the field names that I'm going to be working with. Okay, so I'm in the Donor 2000 table, and those are the field names that I have to work with. And I got to know that about the access. So I created the access externally. I set up the access externally. I've got the data in it and all the rest of it. Now I want to use it. Okay? So now I'm going to close it down, because what I definitely don't want to do is have it open when I'm trying to run the VB. So I've closed it down. Okay, so now when I want to do that, I have set up a form, and if I run this, it is showing me a couple of things. For example, it's showing me the current path, which is go to the F drive, go to blah, 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 and so forth. And that's where it will find the database. So it's showing me the path. Now what I did up here is I said dim current path as string, systems environment current directory. So current path is whatever they give me for systems environment current directory. And that's what they gave me, so I am doing a message box to show that. Then the connection string is taking that current path and adding onto it all the stuff at the beginning about the provider, and also adding on the fact that this is donor ACCDB. And so if I click OK, it moves on, and I now see the connection string. And the connection string has added in the donor and has added the information above to tell what kind of database it is. Okay, so the provider is Microsoft, and it's the data that it is providing in Microsoft. Okay, because in order to be able to use this, Visual Basic has to know what kind of database it is. Is it Access? Is it Oracle? Is it MySQL? Is it SQL Server? What kind of database is it? And so I told it Access. So now that it knows those two things, the next thing I do is I come up with a SQL string that will get me the data I want to see. So my SQL string is select the DID number and the DNAME from donor 2000. Okay, so it's getting those two fields from donor 2000. And beneath it, lined out, I have a few where I put a where clause on and all that good stuff. Okay? So the next message box is going to show me the select, which is select DID number, DNAME from donor 2000. Okay? So after that, I have what is called the adapter. And the adapter is going to tie together my SQL, which is in the SQL string, and the location, which is in connection string. So it's telling me this is the connection you have to make, and when you make it, the SQL string is what I want to do. Okay? And then it is saying, okay, donor DT, the data adapter, is going to do a fill, and it's filling donor DT. And donor DT was defined up at the top as a new data table. Then if I want to, I can dispose of the data adapter. You don't have to do that, but if you got a load of data, it's better too. And then I said, all right, now do fill text boxes. Okay, so it's going to do the fill text boxes, and the text boxes are going to take information from the first record. Okay, so somewhere
I
here.
I run it, it breaks on
the same thing. And I have access this time.
On the donut DT cloud, the data got without fill.
And you've got it in the same directory? I thought you had it running last time.
On this, not on my computer. It works on this, not on my laptop. Which is weird, because I have access on both.
Huh. What does it tell you the current path is?
Oh, let's see. Let's have it. Start.
Is the bin folder in the... debugger, I should say.
And it's finding it all right.
It seems like it's finding it. Mine doesn't even show me.
I put a message box on
the
side.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, you want to have the message box for the current path. I don't see why it wouldn't be showing it.
I didn't know she had a comment at all.
Hello. You got the donut DT, you didn't take that out.
No, it's still so.
Yeah, my laptop is right.
Yeah. What are you? Beyond commented those things?
Yeah. Maybe the provider are old.
Yeah, I mean, what version of Access do you have?
2016. I'm sure I haven't done it.
That may be it.
Maybe it's. Oh, yeah?
Because we've got 2013 here.
Yeah.
That's one reason why we're not going to use Access after this week. We're going to move on to SQL Server. Which you might also check and see if you have SQL Server at some point, because it's usually downloaded with Visual Basic.
Do you know where I can find that?
Just go do a search for it. But find out if you have SQL Server and what version you have. And I will put up a couple of examples this weekend. I've actually got an example of how to create a database in SQL Server. I'll try to remember to put all those up tomorrow.
Through Access?
Huh?
And that's through Access?
No, it's through SQL Server, which is a database.
Oh.
And if you look at your book...
Is that a Microsoft product?
Yes. And if you look at your book... That's the one they talk about using. Okay. I do Access because basically everybody's familiar with it, so that's why I start out with Access. But if you got 2016, apparently that must be the problem. Because if you could run it on our machines that have 2013, I'll try running it at home. I've got 2016 on something, and I'll try running it at home. But... Our computers are not all that bad, guys. Is it running for you? 2016? Then, I mean, I'm guessing that that's what the problem is. Because if it ran on our computers and didn't run on yours, then I'm guessing that must be the problem. Okay. So down here, what I'm doing to fill the box... is I'm saying text, DID number dot text. I want to go to donut DT. I want to take the row that is current by the row index. And the row index starts out at 0. And I want to get the field called DID number and put that in text DID number. And then get the name and put that in the name. Okay? So in the load, I haven't clicked on anything. This was part of the load. The load brought up the first record. It did the fill text boxes, and it brought up the first record. Okay, now when I want to move on, I click on the button that says read next, and it executes the lines up above, which say basically if I'm at the end, then reset to zero. If I'm not at the end, then add one to the row index. But if adding to the one to the row index was going to throw me out, then you can't do it. So I reset to zero. I could have put out an error message that said, now we're done. But I decided to restart. So I set the row index to zero, which means I'm restarting. So if you see, I go through this and then I go back to John Doe. So I'm restarting it with every click. And again, I could have just put out a message on the else saying, you know, you've hit end of file, which is probably what I would really do, but in this example, it worked better.
Now, is the fill text boxes a function that you made?
Yes, it is. It's a subroutine that I wrote. It doesn't have all the stuff on the line, so that's how you can tell it's mine. Because it doesn't have all of this stuff that goes in automatically. It just says sub fill text box. So I just created it. I just sat here in the code and made it. I typed sub fill text box. You know, so I come down here and I just can type sub whatever. Oh, I'm in run mode, so I can't. But if I get out of run mode, I can. Okay, so that's how it was set up. And we went through this example and three others yesterday. The other one that we went through, and I'm going to click out, was using a grid. So I'm going to go look at that one. Okay, so new project, close project, file, come on. File, new, open project. And the fourth one is the grid. And does somebody remember the name of it? VB Grid 12, I think. Yes. Okay. So this one, if I run it, it just fills a grid. And the grid was one of the things I dragged over from the property, from the toolbox. So I dimmed bookdt as a new table. Since I've only got one paragraph, I didn't make it global. I just put it in the routine. I dimmed the current bath, the current string, the select, I wanted everything. And then I said fill, and I put the fill associated with the grid. And so it basically just filled the grid because my data source is the grid. So I filled bookdt and then I said, okay, now bookdt is the data source for the grid. Yes, no, maybe?
So it is accessing access pretty much, right? The database email?
Yes, yes, the database is in access and I'm telling it where it can find it. By saying, here's the path. This is the two steps to the path information. And then I'm saying, here's the select I want to do when you get there. And I have to select the name of a valid table. And this particular database, which is Books09, happens to have a book data table in it. So the database is on the line above where it says Books09. And then down below, I have select asterisk from book. So that's the table within the database. And I'll play around with and see if I can get this running in my 16 at home.
Yeah, good luck to you. It's not just a line of code, it's a whole thing.
Okay. Well, that's one of the reasons why they moved away to SQL Server, probably. Wonderful.
This is what we get for using our own laptops.
You can download all the access. It's by that by this problem automatically.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, we can try
I
that.
The solution.
So you're pretty much doing a read and write with Visual Basic to a database.
Right now all I'm doing is reading.
Yeah, but you can do a write too, right?
Yes. But we're not going to play around with that until we actually get to SQL Server, because access is
annoying.
So we'll go on and do that. But this basically shows the stuff that you can do. Okay, so that's the grid.
Is there a way to turn an Excel document into an access?
Yeah. I believe there is. I've done it in the past, but I've done it in the past.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it should still exist, but maybe it's changed a little bit. I was just curious.
Yeah.
At my job, some idiot made a whole database in Excel. And I was trying to tell them, like, well, if I want to search for something, I can't do that in Excel. So I was trying to put it in Excel.
Well, I'm not sure that you can. I'm trying to remember. I haven't played with Excel in a long time. But there are searches you can do in Excel.
Like an actual query?
You can a little bit. It's not as powerful.
But
it's not as powerful, but you can do searches in Excel.
So I think you can search like the row numbers and like the letters.
No, but there's actually a programming language behind the scenes. And again, I'm dating myself, but Excel had a macro language. And the macro language lets you do a lot of fairly sophisticated things, and I'm sure they've got a version of it now. I just haven't played with Excel in such a long time.
Yeah, man, I never had a reason to.
Well, that's my problem.
Until like last weekend, I was like, well, we can just do this properly, and just be done. Yeah,
my mother has a database that has specific formulas for
exactly.
The database run it behind the scenes.
And when I used to do it, you used to be able to write what they called a macro.
Yeah.
And a macro was a series, a script.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you could write a series of, but again, I'm talking about a few generations ago in Excel, because I haven't taught Excel in years.
I'm sure it hasn't changed that much.
And the Excel that I use in my real world is actually OpenOffice's version.
Yeah. I actually prefer OpenOffice.
So. Okay, so that's that one. So now we're going to look at the fifth one, which I can never remember the names. So we went through those top four, and then we're doing a bind on click. Okay? So the next one is file, close solution, file. Come on, you can do it. Okay, on this one, I put all of the load stuff in a separate module. And this is a good example of when I would find a separate module a nice thing to have, and then I can use that module in other programs. But I've got all of the loading stuff, the finding the address, tying the SQL, which is a select asterisk, are all in the VB module. And so now if I come back on here, huh?
I wonder if that one
works. I suspect none of them are going to. Huh? So now I've got, I didn't do anything over there to put data in it. So I said on load of the form, fill the donor DT. It's actually not the load of the form, it's button load. So when I click on load data, in about 10 minutes, it should give me the data. There it did. Okay? So there's the data. So I said, when I click that, fill the donor DT, and then fill the text boxes.
Don't click.
Okay. And then button next, I just moved on to the next one. So there's not really much of anything different there. It was just that I wasn't bringing it up immediately and I was using a module.
So when you dim donor DT as new data table, so when you dim anything as a new data table, what exactly?
It's a new instance of the data table object.
Okay.
If that makes sense. So there is a data table description and this is a new instance of it.
Oh, so you're modifying the table?
No, I'm just getting a new instance of it to look at.
Oh, okay.
Like a reference almost?
Yeah. Because it's saying, you know, I'm filling, I need something to fill. And so I'm saying fill donor DT, which is a data table structure. Like a, it's like a data table, I'm basically saying here. Okay, next. Some of these get kind of interesting, but we haven't got there yet. Combine with SQL. Okay, so I'm going to try that one. And basically, what we're doing is kind of eliminating the stuff that you can do in there, and then we'll start playing with SQL Server and everything. But these are just going over some of the fundamentals of what you can do. Okay, so I've now again set up a grid. Now on this one I decided for no good reason other than to show you to not use a data table but to use a data set. And you can have multiple data sets within a data table. Well, I've only got one data set because I'm only using one thing. So I've only got one going on. Now, it is a combination of three different tables. So look down below, and you can see, and it goes on forever, I have select DNAME, DDrive name, DAmount contribution. Okay, DNAME is from the donor database. The drive name is from the drive database, and contribution amount, D amount contribution, is from the donation database table. Sorry, I should have been saying table to all those. It's from the three tables. The database is called just plain donor. The tables are donor 2000, donation 2000, drive 2000. And I have to do the linking, so I'm saying where donor 2000 equals donation 2000 to match the IDs, and then I go over and say, and the drive numbers on the donation table has to match the drive number on the drive table. But I'm really not using three tables once I get through with the select, because the select has made a view, and the view is the information that it's extracted. So now I can combine it, and it's as if I just had one table, only it's really a view. So when I come down below, I say fill DS donor DB, which is the data set, and it puts the view in there. And then I say, okay, now a data set can have more than one table. I said that in reverse before. A data set can have more than one table. I'm using table zero. Okay, a set can have multiple tables, and as I said, I think I said that in reverse. And so I'm saying table zero because it's the only table. Questions?
Seems pretty straightforward. I'm just curious how I do this at home. That's the only problem.
We have labs.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Probably have no choice. backwards.
Okay, the next one we're going to look at is SQL diff code, whatever that is. I have long since forgotten which goes with which, even though I looked at them this weekend. What was it I said? SQL diff code?
Yeah.
Okay, this one is simply doing different selects. So I have one here that says select from table stew, and I said select here from table stew where major equals CI. So on one of these buttons, I'm only getting the CI majors, and one of them I'm getting everybody. And I'm back to using a data table in this. So if I run this, if I say CI students, and then I do the last, it gives me the last student ID. Previous, it goes back one. Next, it goes forward one. First, it goes to the beginning. Okay?
I remember the assignment.
Huh?
I remember when this is a database assignment in 120.
Okay. Except I didn't have you writing it in VB, right?
Yeah, but we're accessing it through VB.
Yeah.
Did you do the data adapter in public or no?
Yes.
You could do that in public.
Well, you can do anything in public.
Yeah, of course, but I wasn't really sure.
Yeah.
My question was, though, when to get the path to the access file, it's in the actual project folder, right, under debug?
Well, it's in under systems environment current directory. Gives you the path, and then once you have the path, you have to add in the name of the database. But you have to be sure that you have the database inside the debug, the bin debug. So you have to have saved it inside there if you want this to work. Okay, so you have to save it inside the bin debug.
So the database has to be in the debug?
Yes.
You have to copy it.
You know, so again, if I go back over to here and I go to my F drive and I go to ADO Access, and what was the name of this one? SQL Different Code. There it is in the bin debug. Okay?
And when you set the path, you put it in that string as current path?
Well, the current path gets the stuff to get to the... Current path assumes that you stored it there. So it comes up with the path to get to your Visual Basic program, which it knows.
Well, so if you wanted to, you could actually point it in the right direction.
Well, you can put it anywhere. Yeah. And in fact, if you're out in the real world, you are probably putting in the path to the server... and the database is out on the server. But when you're testing with a copy of it, you're putting it in your own directory. But when you get out to doing it on the server, you're going to just put in whatever path they give you that will be the path to the server.
So if you create it in the SQL server, you can still put it in the debug file? Like if I was to use, say, WebMatrix,
and
just do it
on
the SQL server?
Okay. Yes. But I think there's a way around that, and I'm trying to remember. Ask me again after this weekend, because that's what I want to refresh my mind on.
I definitely will, but I can't figure it out. I really can.
Okay.
Because
the web matrix part of the question, I'm trying to remember where you put it in web matrix.
So the system.environment.current directory.
Well, I mean, this whole thing, if I go far enough over, it gives you the whole address. So my program is stored on the F drive in a directory called BBADO Access, and this is the name of the program. And apparently I've got the name like three times because I, you know, copied too many times.
If you click on the nav bar, it'll give you the actual path.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's the path, and this gives you the actual path. this is the actual pass.
Oh, but I mean, click on the nav bar. Just click on it.
Which pass?
Well, I mean, like, where the path is.
Yeah.
I'll give you the path, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Why did I care?
Because that's what the computer actually reads.
But that's exactly what I had.
Maybe you can copy that aspect.
But, okay, whatever. I think I can copy the other one just fine.
Well, it was just buttons that told you.
No, it was still up there. I don't understand why I'm confused. If I come in here, okay, and I want to go, so I'm going to my F drive. When I get to my F drive, I'm going to VBA to ADO access. I'm doing, what is it, query diff? No. Which one was it?
SQL diff.
And now I've got SQL diff again because I happened to put it in a second time when I copied. But, okay, I see what you're saying because it, all right, I just didn't follow you because it had all the clear. Yeah. Yes.
I forgive
you. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, I got lost. Okay, so that one is where you can find it, and all students gives me everybody else, so I just saw a BU, I just saw an engineer, and so forth. Okay. And all this does is it gives you the buttons for button next that we looked at last time. But essentially, I said if you want the next one, then you have to look and see if it's going to go outside. And if it is, I reset to zero, but you could also come back with a message. If I want the previous one, I want to make sure that I'm not going past the beginning. Because if I do previous and I'm already on number one, I'm going to have a problem. So I'm checking and saying if the row index is zero, is greater than zero, then I can subtract one. Otherwise, I'm resetting to zero. But again, as I said, you could put out a message. Last goes to counts minus one. Okay? That's count minus one. And first goes to row index zero. What am I doing? I want the next one, which is donor two tables, right? Okay, so this one. Come on. So this one, I've got two tables. And what I want to do is I want to be able to move through the donor table, and then I want to be able to pick up the donations for that donor. So I set it up with text boxes to go with the donor table and a grid to give me the donations. So right now I'm sitting there with John Doe. And if I click on match, I now only see John Doe's. Okay, so I only see the donations that John Doe gave. If I go to the next person, I can then click on match and see their donations, and they gave no donations. If I then click on next, I can go to Mary Wilson and I click on match and I can see her donations. So I'm bringing up the donations for the person. Okay? And if I go to next, I've got Nancy Taylor. And if I go to previous, I would go back to Mary Wilson and so forth. So the next and the previous are working their way through the donor table. The next and the previous are working their way through the donor table. And I could have done first and last, but I was probably feeling lazy. The match finds a match. Okay? So, I set up a donor set, and I've got two tables now. Okay, I've got two tables. So I started out and I did the provider stuff, and then I did the select SQL donor, and I selected the ID number, the name. And I did SQL donation, and I selected fields that I wanted from there.
Okay.
So I've got the two tables going on. I use the adapter with both tables to make the tables connect to the location. And then I do the fill, and I fill donor 2000 and donation 2000. Now notice up above that I have got a data set which can have more than one table in it. So my donor DS is a table, is a data set, and the data set is going to fill from donor 2000 and fill from donation 2000. Okay? Then I come down and I can write the donation data source is table 1. And I can either refer to it, I'm referring to the donation. I fill the text boxes, and now I'm filling that one. And I can either refer to that as donation 2000 or table 1. Donor is table 0, donation is table 1. In the fill text boxes, I can use either tables donor or table 0. When I'm talking about the donor, I can refer to it as the donor 2000 table, or I can refer to it as table 0, because the data set has two tables in it. Okay? Donor DS has two tables in it, table 0 and table 1. Now, I'm taking both the ID number and the name out of table 0, because they both come out of the donor table, right? And if I would ask either of you a question, where am I?
Doing something. Was it with the database?
I'm feeling in competition. But the next thing is you want to pay attention to. When you get to the match, okay, if I click on button match, okay, there it is. If I click on button math, what's going on there? I'm saying dim row filter, because I want to create a row filter, as string where DID number equals text DID number dot text. Okay? So I'm looking for a DID number that will match with text DID dot text. And then once I've got it, I've said, okay, use the donation table and create a data view that goes to the table and pulls out donation 2000 and filters on DID number. So basically, that little expression there will pull out all of the donations that match, because I said I want to do a match. The filter I want is to do a match between DID number and text. So use that filter, and I want all of them that have a DID number from the donation table that match what's in the text box. So I've moved on to the next record. The text box has a new ID. And so now I'm saying the filter is going to be that I want to match the IDs to that text box. So then I go down and say, okay, the data view I'm creating is using the donation table, and it's using the row table, row filter rather. And it is going to filter and come up with, according to the filter, only records that have a match on the donation table. So that's what it's basically doing. And you have to throw in the data, new data view and the data view row state and all that, because what it's doing is creating a view. A view is a subset you've taken off a table. So it's creating a view. So I call DV donation a data view, and I'm saying, okay, it's a data view that is going to go to the table and specifically going to go to donation 2000, and it is going to filter for the IDs to be equal. Okay, so that's the filter it's going to use. So it's going and finding all the IDs that match, which is kind of neat.
So in all the strings we have up there, like the SQL donation, that's actually the SQL code to go through the table, right?
Yes. So the first SQL brought up the DID number, DNAME, and the next one brought up actually everything, I think, from the donation. And notice that I ordered it by DID number, so that the ID numbers are all together. And then donor DS is a data set, and it can be made up of two tables. And these are the two tables. And so I can refer to them as donation 2000, donor 2000, or I can refer to them as table 1 and table 0. And that's based on which select I did first. The first select got me the donor information. The second select got me the donation information. And so I said, now fill donor DS with donor 2000. Actually, it's probably those fills that made the difference. But I did them in the same order. It's the fills that made the difference. And fill the second donor DS with donation. Okay. And then DG donation is go to donor DS and pull out table 1, or go to donor DS and pull out the table with the name. So DGD donation has those in it. Then in the fill, I just simply fill the text boxes.
You're saying a lot of this is in Chapter 8, right?
No, almost none of it is.
Oh, no?
No. The book uses the wizard. And what we're doing this week, and then we're going to use the wizard, is looking at what has to be written if you actually wanted to do it without using the wizard.
Not totally. It is convenient. My book is left in my car in the shop.
The wizard is in the book, but the book, it... So basically, as I said before, I think if you're going to be a professional in this field, you ought to know something other than the wizard. So you ought to have an understanding. Even if you always use the wizard, you have to understand what's going on in the background. Okay. So that basically is how you do the match. And so the data source becomes the DV donation. So this view that I made becomes the source for the grid. So up here at the top, notice I filled the grid. The data source became the whole table. And when I ran it, that was true. If I stop this and I run it again, okay, so I'm running it again, and notice it comes up with the entire set. And that's because over here, I said that I was putting in donor DS table 1 or I could have said donation 2000. So I was putting in the grid, this is called DGD donation, this grid is. I was putting everything into the grid. Now once they click on match, if you look down below at match, I am putting the results of this data view into the grid. So I'm doing the data view, finding the records in the data view, and putting those in the grid. Okay? So at the beginning, the grid contains everything. Then if I want to move on to Mary Wilson, Nancy Taylor, whatever, and I hit a match here, it goes and does the filter of looking for all of the records that match the 33333. Because see, I'm saying match text DID number dot text. So it's looking for all the records that match that. And these are them. And so that becomes the data view. And then I say, okay, now take that view, which we just filtered through, and put it in as the data source for the grid. So the data source for the grid is now the result of the filtering. But the first time through, it was everything. I just said, throw the donation table in there. Does that make sense?
Makes a little more sense.
Okay. I mean, that line to do the view is one of those other lovely copy and paste lines.
Pretty sure in about an hour or two on Google. I'll get it. Okay.
But, you know, what you're basically saying is here is this is the filter I want to do a match with the DID numbers that are here to what's in the text box. What will end up here? They're not here yet. And then I say, okay, now I'm going to create a data view, and I'm going to go to that donation table, and I'm going to use that row filter. And it is basically going to come up with the rows that meet that filter. But that line really is, you know, basically you follow the leader.
Complicated than what it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it does. And as I said, that line, I wouldn't even think about doing that line without looking at my... I have templates of different things that I would go and look at when before I did that line, because I'm going to forget. Data view, row state. I mean, you know, I'm going to forget those. So there's certain things that I know if I want to do, I have an example that I've pulled out. And if I did this every day for a living, then I would memorize it, but I don't. And so I don't. Okay? Okay, questions? Okay. The next one is what? What one did we just do? Donor two tables?
Yeah.
So we're going to get to toe grids, which really should have been two grids. So there's two more I want to look at. Come on, you can do it. Okay. So now I've got two grids. So I've got a grid of the donors, and I've got a grid of the donations, and I have one button that says process. So if I go down to Mary Wilson and highlight her and say process, I get Mary Wilson's donations. Okay. So this is using that row filter again. The difference here is that I am putting the donor information in the grid as well, and I got to highlight the record that I want as opposed to bring it up in text boxes. Okay. And again, I can refer to them as donor and donation, or I can refer to them as table 0 and table 1. And the big thing here is current donor. I could have put up an input box to ask them to do it, which is commented out. The way I did it is I said, go to grid donor, the current cell's value. Okay, so I've got the current cell's value. So when I went down and I highlighted 22222, that's the current cell's value. So I'm now comparing that current set to the DID number to the current cell value. And I called it current donor. So I said, current donor is going to equal, go to the grid, get the current cell, and get its value. Okay, go to the grid, get the current cell, and get its value.
When you typed in system.environment.current, it's pretty much where this program's actually hanging out.
Exactly. And then there could be other things or something, so I have to give it the name specifically of the database. So if I click on Nancy Taylor, for example, and say process, it comes back and shows me nothing. Because the current cell, I can't compare Nancy Taylor to an ID. It has to be, but if I click on the 3 and say process, it comes back. So I've got to be clicking on the current cell that I want to do a comparison on, and then I get the results. Notice if you click on the whole line, however, it goes with it. And I believe that's because it takes the first field. But when I clicked over here, it also was able to do the match. So if I come down here and click on Robert Brooks and say process, there's all of Robert Brooks's donations. And if I click on the line and say process, there are those. But if I click on a separate field, it doesn't work. So the only difference here is instead of going in for a text box, I'm going in for the current cell in the grid. The rest of this is all the same. But I'm just going for the current cell on the grid as opposed to the text box. That's really the only big difference, the only difference. Questions?
OLEDB adapter.
That's a Microsoft Magic.
Microsoft Magic?
Yes. No, Magic as in it takes it and does its thing behind the scenes, where it basically says, okay, now I'm going to connect the SQL you want with the location of the database, and I'm going to do that for you.
Oh, so.
And so it's generating its own code behind the scenes. The data adapter is the thing that does that, and it connects what I want, which is the SQL, with the location of the table. Okay. Questions? I like your response to questions.
Who?
Him. All right.
What? Size?
Okay. Okay, so now we're going to close this and open the last one, which is what? Query or something? Query difference, I think that was. No, have I already looked at that?
No.
Query difference. And then the adds, change, and deletes, we're not going to look at, and I'll explain how to do those, but the new versions of VB don't work correctly.
This is extremely useful.
I mean, this one is basically actually doing a bunch of different SQLs is what I was looking for. Okay, so this one is really basically how to write different SQLs. So if you go up to the top, and I think that's actually, this is the first one. I said, select asterisks from tables to where GPA is between low GPA and high GPA. Or I could have written where GPA is greater than low versus and less than high. Okay, so I've got the two things going on there. So what I've got to do is low GPA is a field that I have defined. It's an input box. And I need to take, if you look up here, low GPA is an input box. And so I need to switch out of SQL and say concatenate that with low GPA, concatenate that with the AND that I need for SQL, and concatenate that with high GPA. So when I'm sticking in the variables, I go and do it that way. And down below shows another way of doing it. Explain to me what's happening on that major one. Can anybody figure out what's happening there?
What, the major?
Mm-hmm.
So it's asking for the info, the major that they want. And then it goes to the SQL string and it selects the major that you put in. But then it outputs the SQL string in a message box. But what's it?
Well, I've got the major concatenated in there.
Oh yeah, you get the major from tables to where major is the major and the message box. But what's the adapter bottom, the function? The DOA adapter.
Where are you?
The button click?
I just did the adapter at the end. Where is it? Somewhere up here. There it is. I defined it. I cleared things out and I pulled in the new stuff. Because basically what happened is that I was doing a totally different select. So I needed... depending on which one of these you hit, my SQL string was totally different. So I had to link that SQL string to the database, so to the table. So I'm saying do adapter, and that is a linking it. It's clearing out student DT and refilling student DT. Okay, student DT is the data table that I'm using, and it's defined up above. And so what this adapter does is I'm using a totally different SQL string in these. and so it clears out what was there and puts in the records that met the new string, the new SQL. Okay, so I'm getting the records that meet the new SQL. And then I can fill the text boxes, and I go and move the ID, the name, the GPA, and the major in.
So if we even wanted to play around at home, we can go to our old SQL assignments and try to mess around.
Oh, sure. So if I run this, and I'm saying ID number, and so I say, let's say I want to check major. So I put in check major, it says enter the major you want. I'm going to put in CI. And then it says okay. And it shows me, because I just showed what it came up with, so it shows me select asterisk from table stool where major equals CI. Okay, and then I said okay, and it is showing me all the people that have CI majors, and I can see them by going through next. You know, I could have put them in a grid, but I didn't. I put them in text boxes.
So okay. Earlier when you had the grid set up, that was you who set the grid up, right?
I set the grid up, right. I used the grid from the toolbox. But notice the check major. Please enter the major you want. So I'm putting CI, and then it says select asterisk from stable table stool where major equals CI. And notice that the CI is in single quotes because it is a character literal, right? So if I come down and do the check GPA, you will be entering the end of the low end here. So the low end is 3.4, we'll say. And the upper end is 4, we'll say. Then it's showing me everybody within that range. So those are the only people that I'm seeing are within that range. Okay? So again, if I say check GPA, it says, let's say I just say 3 and 4. Okay, it now shows the 3 and 4. Okay. And then I had an and or down below. And we're pretty much out of time. But when I have my selects, low GPA doesn't have to be in quotes. So I can say, has the select, concatenate it with low GPA. So if I put in a 3, that comes up as a 3. Concatenate it with, back to putting in the select, and GPA less than or equal to, so it's back to the select. Concatenate that with high GPA, so that's the 4. So it's saying select everybody between 3 and 4. Why did I need all of the fancy quotes down around major?
When the button click for major?
Yep.
Well, you have to put the fancy quotes or the single bracket for the literal character.
Because it's string.
Because it's string. Yeah. And I need those single characters around the string. So
because
I'm saying,
it's for the double quotes.
Right, so I'm saying, give it to me, I want equal the string, and then I'm putting in concatenate, that's SQL, and it's going to concatenate that, and it ends up with CI being inside quotes. So it ends up like that. Okay, with the CI being inside quotes. And then this closes the whole select. This closes that. That is the thing that shows up. It's a pain in the neck. Okay? But that's how it works. And then down below, I have the major. Okay? Again, with the single quotes around it and the GPAs without. It really is a pain in the neck. to get it all as one string. And that's why when I was doing it up here, I put out the message box. And that's what I almost always do when I'm writing one of these, because I inevitably make a mistake. And if I put up the message box to show what I got, then I can figure out what my mistake is. Okay, we're done. Take a look at those, though, over vacation, over break, over weekend, whatever it is.